Got sermon audio going. All right, let's go over to Psalms chapter 127. Psalms chapter 127, continuing our study tonight on the home. God-ordained institution that the devil hates. The world hates it, and they've been attacking it. But if our church is going to be one that pleases God, we got to have homes that please God. And so we want to look at what the Bible says about the home and the type of home we ought to have. Psalms 127 and verse number 1. Last week we looked at kind of an introduction to the study of about a home, and we looked at that over there with Hezekiah when he was asked about what was seen in his house, and that we ought to have a house that pleases the Lord. So we're going to look at tonight for a few minutes on what is a home. Psalms 127, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, Psalms 127, 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. A home ought to be a place that has peace. It's got love and joy, security, refuge. It ought to be a place that their family is comfortable being in. And so if a house has all those things, it's a home. It's not just a house. And there's a difference between a home and a house. If the Lord is building the house, it will be a home. It'll be somewhere that people don't mind being, and family doesn't mind being a part of. But if God's not in charge of our home, it's just simply a place where we eat and sleep. If it's going to be a home according to the Word of God, God's going to have preeminence in it. It's going to be one that He has built, and it's not just going to be a place where we eat and sleep. It'll have all those things in it. So I want to look for a few minutes tonight on what should be seen in a Christian's home. And somebody that claims to be saved, the child of God, what should be seen in their home every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesdays, but every single day. And the first thing that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ should be seen in our home. He's going to take preeminence on everything we do. Anything we teach or study, we go over the church. He's our foundation. The Word of God's our foundation. Jesus Christ, this thing is all about Him. It's not just in the church it's all about Him. It ought to be all about Him at our house. If you're saved and you've been born again and washed in the blood, you're a part of the body of Christ. And our job is to magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just on Sundays. That's every day. That's to our family, our wife, our husband, our children, our neighbors. They ought to see Jesus Christ being lifted up. And He ought to be seen in our house. Go over and look at Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter number 10, I'm going to use a biblical illustration. We've been talking in pastors or in the preacher's class on Sunday mornings about different preaching methods and illustrations and things like that. And there's some of the best illustrations you'll ever use are biblical illustrations. Things where you go over and find a passage in the Bible about something. So we're going to look at a biblical illustration of Jesus Christ being seen in the home. Anybody that looks at our house ought to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned it last week. There's some folks that have Jesus as the unseen guest at every meal. He's the unseen visitor in every conversation or something along those lines. And again, if you have that, you know, I'm not saying go throw it away. But the idea that we should have is that He's not a guest in our home. He lives there. And if He lives there, we're going to consult Him on whatever we do in that home. If He has the preeminence in that home, every movie that we watch, every show that we watch, every thing we listen to, the conversation my wife and I have, the conversation we have with our children, everything we do, He's included. Amen. Some people that aren't saved, they'll probably look at you like you're a loon. What do you mean? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so God's a spirit, and He's there. And you say, Lord, what do you think about this? I said, man, that man, who's he talking to? That Stephen Hawking just passed away. And he's an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in any of those things. But I promise you one thing right now, this very minute, Brother Hutch made reference to it a second ago. I promise you, he believes in heaven, he believes in hell, and he believes in God right this very second. He's there is no atheist, there's no agnostics in hell. None. As soon as they die, they realize I was wrong. And as a child of God, in our homes, the Lord Jesus Christ should be seen. Not a guest in our home. Not somebody that we just invite in on Sundays, you know, if the preacher comes over to eat. Or you get somebody to come over, amen? And the preacher likes coming over to eat, by the way, just a commercial. But it should not just be on those times. It should be every single day. It shouldn't matter when somebody drops in there. I mean, it ought to be a welcoming place that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is there and there's nothing that you have to clean up. Brother Heitch, I'm sure you've seen this in your years of visiting, but it's happened to me several times where you go to visit and, you know, a kid or somebody comes to the door and they'll let you, you know, they want to open the door and just let somebody come walking in. Amen. They can't control their kids. But that's a joke. I went to Brother Brian's house the other day and his son let me in. I said, buddy, you don't need to be letting people in. I don't care who it is. Don't let them in the house. But I've done that before, and you can hear them, like, scrambling to throw the bottles away, hide the magazine, you know, whatever, because the preacher's about to come in the house or somebody, you know, from the church is about to come over. And hold on, hold on. You hear stuff flying everywhere. And, you know, it ought not to be like that. It ought to be say, hey, come on in. You know, it might not be clean, as clean as you want it to be. I know my wife, she panics every time I say, hey, you know, and most of the time I tell her it's when the doorbell's going off. Oh, by the way, Brother Bowen's coming over for a minute. You know, and she, my house. But there's nothing in there that I would care for him to see other than, you know, she thinks it's a mess. I think it's fine. She keeps a clean house, and I thank the Lord for it. But, she, you know, she'll panic about that. But there's nothing in there we're having to hide. We're not having to hide any drinks. We're not having to hide any movies. We don't have to hide any of that stuff. Why? It's just not allowed in the house. And so the Lord Jesus Christ should be seen in that home. He should have the preeminence. He should have the say-so every day of the week. At every decision we make, he should have the preeminence in the home. The Bible says over here in Exodus chapter number 10, if you're there, say amen. Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21. Exodus 10:21, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And I'm telling you right now, that's dark. Have any of you ever been in a dark place like that where you could feel the darkness? I've been in some caves. We went to some caves up there in Kentucky when I was younger, and you know, I was probably Elijah or Ella's age. And we got down to the bottom of that cave and they turned all the lights off. And that was probably the darkest I've ever been in. And it was scary. Amen. It was scary then. I'm sure it'd probably still be scary now. And so that's dark, where you can feel the darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. I would go crazy having darkness for that long. You probably would too. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Amen. You know what this is? I know what this story is. It's the plagues for the nation of Israel. God's trying to get them freed from the Egyptians under that bondage. This is one of the plagues. But this is a beautiful illustration of our home. As soon as you step foot out of your house, or you send your children out of your house, they're walking in darkness. As soon as we leave that home, they're walking in darkness. This world is a dark, dark, wicked place. Just turn on the news for a few minutes. You can see that everywhere we go. And so this is a beautiful illustration of that darkness. And they go out and, you know, it even talks about a darkness which may be felt. And you can feel you can almost feel that wickedness when you go out. Sometimes we'll go places or see things and you just feel dirty just being in the presence of whatever it is. And you say, I got to get out of here. I can't be around this. And that's what it's like out there in the world. And so you get out in that darkness, but the children of God here, they had light in their dwellings. And that ought to be like our house. It ought to be a place of refuge. It ought to be a place of light. It ought to be a place of comfort. It ought to be a place of joy and peace. In a place that they feel safe, that they can come home and be in that home. But I'm going to tell you right now that they will not feel safe if all they ever hear is fighting and arguing. Amen. You don't feel safe in an environment like that. And but that's what the modern home is like. They've got these shows on television. I've never sat down and watched any of them. All I know is what I've read or seen a commercial or two. You know, they got these shows of like the modern family, and they've got all different versions of this thing. And, you know, the granddad somehow had a midlife crisis, and now he's got an earring and a tattoo, and he's, you know, a sodomite. And they got all these different things, and there's always yelling and screaming going on in the home, and the children are yelling at the parents, and the parents are yelling at them. And they said, that's the modern family. And what's sad is that it probably describes a lot of the modern homes, even Christians' homes. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. And, man, there's nothing. This has nothing to do with the notes. But it drives me crazy when I see, you know, a 50, 60, 70-year-old man that got like a little earring in his ear. Hey, man, Brother Hodge, you take yours out tonight before you came. And, you know, just got a little earring in his ear. He got that tattoo from when he was in the army of that eagle, but now it's a buzzard with its wings all hanging down. The flying days are over. And he's got just a little, you know. Have y'all seen it? Yeah. Like, come on, man. You were almost done. You were almost done being a man. And now you're... Help us, Lord. I got to get back on this. The world is a wicked, dark place. And our home ought to be a place of light. And I think it's a great, I mean, you could probably do a lot of preaching here in this verse along those lines of all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And you know what? That ought to be the same way with our homes. Our church is only as strong as the homes that are in it. And if we're going to have the light of God in our church, it's got to be in our homes. You know, we want it in our children. It's got to be in our homes. There's so many times that, you know, people want to say, well, you know, we'll let the preacher straighten them out. We'll let the Sunday school teacher. It's got to be in our home or it will not work. There might be exceptions to that, you know, but I'd rather not take my chances. I want God in the home, and I don't want to get ahead of myself on some other things that we need in the home. But the Lord Jesus Christ has to be in the home. It's a wicked, wicked world out there. There's only two places on earth where Jesus can shine, and that's the church and the home. If he's not shining in those two places, then individuals are not going to be able to shine. You know, we take our light out. Whenever we go on visitation or soul winning, Brother Terry, what we're doing, it might be in the middle of the day. I'm talking about the hot sun is beating down. We're sweating and everything else. But it's a dark world out there. And when we go visiting a soul winning, when we go to the nursing home, we're trying to take that light and just try to show somebody else about the light. Amen? But the question is how bright is our light shining? Now, you think about a home, and you think about, you know, mom and dad and kids, or, you know, the kids might be gone. You might be the only one that lives there, but your house still needs the Lord Jesus Christ and that light to be in there. You still need that. Now, I was going to do an illustration tonight, and I totally forgot about it till right now. But you might have seen it before. If I've got two glasses up here to drink out of, and they're clear, and I fill them both with water, and if I shine a light through the bottom of that glass, it goes up through that water, especially if it's like a crystal glass, and that light will shine everywhere. It'll just start ricocheting all over the place. But if I get one and I smear mud in it, and I fill it full of some rock and sand and whatever else I put in there, if I shine that light through it, it's just going to stop right there. It's not going to radiate through that glass. Not only that, but if I sat them up here and you're really thirsty and I said, hey, you want a drink? You're going to grab the one that's clean. And that's the same thing with our home. We are to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go out to the nursing home, we could go out soul winning, and we can do all those things, but if our vessel's not clean, what kind of light are we giving out? Now, thank the Lord that the Word of God's not going to return void. Amen. That's what the Bible... It's not going to return void. I've people asked me before, There's just a preacher the other day, another preacher that I know. I didn't know him, you know, like on a friendship level, just kind of an acquaintance level, but pastored a good church. He's a good preacher. And, you know, I make jokes about running off with a piano player. Well, he ran off with a piano player. And it just messed up their church. And this just recently happened. And somebody said the other day, they said, you know, they were asking about that church and how they were doing and all this kind of thing since that happened. I said, well, I don't know. I've kind of lost touch with what was going on. He goes, he just asked him, well, how in the world does that happen? And he goes, you know, the question I have is there were people getting saved. And it seemed like God was blessing his preaching. And this has been going on for 2 years. And I said, well, God's word will not return void. If he's preaching the gospel, people can get saved. And thank God for that. Because you know what that means? God can save people in spite of you. And God can help people in spite of you. Because his word is still true. But if you want to affect your children or your family, your wife or your husband, and in a negative way, is preach one thing and live another. Because I promise you that there might have been people that got saved and thanked the Lord for it, and there might have been people get some help, but there's a whole lot of people got damaged out of that. And some that quit on God and quit church, which now means there's families and children that might not be raised in church. And so that's a dangerous place to be. But Jesus Christ has got to shine in our homes. He's got to be there. He has to be that light in our dwelling place. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Without him, there is no light. And he has to be that light in our home. So the question is he shining in our home? And an illustration given here is about, you know, there's a lot of Christian homes that they have that light of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they only open it on Sundays. You know, they put on their Sunday best, they get their Bible, they got to find their Bible. Amen. They got to move the, you know, some people probably got to move the Burger King wrappers and all that stuff out of the way of the floorboard of their car so they can try to find their Bible. And the last time they touched it was last Sunday. That's a sad place to be. Amen. And so it needs to be every day. It needs to be an everyday thing, not just on Sundays. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. And for anybody that thought that the study on the home was going to be a magic pill to make all of our home better, here's the magic, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not magic. It's all about him. He has to have preeminence. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, and he, talking about Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. He has to have preeminence in all things. That's not just here. That's in our homes and in our life. He has to have the preeminence. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. Amen? The sooner we get a hold of that truth, that he has to have the preeminence in our life. There should not be one day, not one day go by, that Jesus Christ is not a part of our home. Not one day. That's praying to him. And all this is, we're going to get into some of this later on, praying to him, reading the Bible, talking about him. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, the best that we can, and we stay extremely busy, but we stop. We have family devotions every day. But every Sunday, I'll ask the kids, what does Sister Allie teach for Sunday school? And I'll ask them tonight when we get home, I'll say, hey, what did Sister Courtney teach? What did Mommy teach during Patch the Pirate? Well, I want to interact with them, and I want to talk about it and those things. And we try to do that every time we go to church. And if they sit through the preaching, we'll get home. If I preach or whoever preaches, or we have popcorn preaching, I'll get them home and I'll say, hey, what was your favorite message? And try to talk to them about it. I want them to know that that's important. God's word and church and preaching is important. And I want to say, what did you get out of it? What did God tell you? And they might say, well, I wasn't paying attention. But the next time they'll pay attention because they know Daddy's going to ask them when we get home. And right now they might only pay attention because they know Daddy's going to ask them when we get home. and they might only pay attention to what's going on in Sunday school, whatever the reason might be. But eventually, one day, I want them to be paying attention and God get a hold of their heart and something click. But it has to be. And I'm not giving these illustrations of my family to say that we're anybody, because we're not. But that's the only example I have, is my home. And so Jesus Christ has got to be the preeminence. He's got to be discussed every day. We've got to talk to him every day. We got to read his word. Anytime the kids or Sarah and I have a decision to make, we always want to pray about that decision. Why? Because Jesus has to have an input in this thing. Amen. I see all these bumper stickers all the time. So you've seen them too. They probably kind of faded. They were real popular years ago. But Jesus is my co-pilot. Amen. Well, Jesus needs to be driving. That song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Jesus would have been driving. She wouldn't have ended up in the ditch. But, you know, Jesus needs to be, Lord, what do you think about this? Amen. At work, you know, I'm responsible for a lot of things, and Miss Ashley works there with us, and her, Miss Heather, or one of the other guys will come in there sometimes, and they'll come in there and say, hey, you need to make a decision on this. Why? Because they don't want to be the one responsible for it. Amen. And it stops with me. I mean, unless it's really big, I can't call my boss and say, hey, you need to make a decision. That's what they pay me to do. And so I got to make a decision. And you know, it ought to be the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ in our home. God, I need you to make this decision. We got this thing coming up, or whatever it might be. And you say, well, how big? If he's a member of the home and he has preeminence, it doesn't matter how big it is. He needs to have preeminence in the home. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop there tonight. So first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be seen in our home. And we're going to give you some more, Lord willing, next week. And maybe we'll have another preacher also next Wednesday night. All right, let's all stand.